Title: Will Madden v. Midland Disrupt Loan Sales and Platform Lending? Content: Where do marketplace lenders and secondary loan market participants find themselves on the issue of preemption of state usury laws after the June 27 denial of the petition for a writ of certiorari in Madden v. Midland by the U.S. Supreme Court? In Madden v. Midland, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit refused to follow the valid when-made rule when considering the scope of federal preemption of state usury laws under the National Bank Act. The court held that the NBA did not bar the application of state usury laws to a national bank's assignee. In considering the applicability of the National Bank Act to a loan in the hands of a non-bank assignee, the Second Circuit considered a number of cases upholding preemption of state usury laws under the National Bank Act but invoked a seemingly new rule for applying Section 85 of the National Bank Act, permitting a national bank to charge interest at the rate permitted by its home state. The Second Circuit concluded that preemption is only applicable where the application of state law to the action in question would significantly interfere with a national bank's ability to exercise its power under the National Bank Act. The court reasoned further that where a national bank retained a substantial interest in the loan, the application of the state usury law would conflict with the bank's power authorized by the National Bank Act. Madden v. Midland involved a debt collection matter where Madden, who lived in New York, objected to Midland's attempt to apply a 27% interest rate to Madden's credit card debt. Midland had acquired the credit card debt from a subsidiary of Bank of America after the debt had become delinquent and charged off. Midland had successfully asserted at the lower court that it too was allowed under the Section 85 of the National Bank Act to charge interest at the rate allowed by the laws of the state where the assignor bank was located when the loan was originated. The Second Circuit reversed the decision and held that the National Bank Act did not bar the state law usury claim that the rate at which post-assignment interest could accrue was governed by New York law, 1. However, it did not decide on the usury question and instead remanded to the District Court the issue of the validity of the Delaware choice of law provision contained in the change in terms, which was the contract applicable to the credit card debt. The Second Circuit decision issued in May of 2015 was an unexpected divergence from a long-standing principle that has facilitated loan sales in a variety of contexts. Before Madden v. Midland, buyers and sellers of debt relied on the apparently settled principle that, if a loan was valid when made, it could not become usurious upon assignment. In addition, many marketplace lenders without their own lending licenses have relied on the valid when-made rule in their loan origination programs by contracting with national or state banks to originate loans for them. In May of 2016, the U.S. Solicitor General and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency filed a brief at the request of the U.S. Supreme Court. The brief criticized the Madden decision and argued that the Second Circuit's preemption analysis was incorrect. It emphasized the impact the court's ruling could have on the ability of national banks to fully exercise the power to convey to an assignee the right to charge the maximum interest rate allowed under the national bank's home state. However, it was also the Solicitor General's position that Supreme Court review of the case was not warranted for several reasons, including that there was no conflict among the circuits on the preemption issue in question as the preemption cases from the other circuits did not address the specific question presented in the Madden case. Further, the Solicitor General criticized the parties for failing to adequately present the full range of preemption arguments, suggesting that the Court of Appeals' failure to appreciate the scope of a national bank's powers under Section 85 of the National Bank Act and the importance of the valid when-made rule may have been attributable to the lack of clarity in the briefing. The Solicitor General also pointed to the interlocutory nature of the decision and the fact that there was still a state law issue to be decided by the District Court as yet another reason for no